Whoa! My sexy voice is back. I don't think I'm COVID free. I think I'm still actually testing positive for COVID, but I am well outside the window of exposure and contaminant. However, I still have the cough, which is really, really a gross cough. And I'm like at that point where I just feel like if I go back to the office and even if I cough like every like 15 minutes or so, like I just feel shame. Do you know, like that's a thing.
Oh yeah, I mean, dude, like you know, I had that allergy cough for so many years, and then when COVID happened, I'm like, well, I can't do that. I mean, I got to figure out a way to stop that because everyone's gonna think I got the Rona.
Oh, it's so like I had to tell my boss, I'm like, well, I'm still testing positive, and I have the cough, but I'm not sick. Like I'm not like yeah. I got over the exhaustion by like I think Monday was the first time I didn't wake up in the morning after 8 hours of sleep and still felt like I could sleep for another 8 hours. Like I'd say Monday I was over that, but the cough is like. There and I'm just like I can't do this. So tomorrow is the first day I'm gonna go back in the office, which is gonna be a Friday to shoot a George Talks Tech. And I've told everybody, I'm like, I'm not contagious. I've been clean based on the CDC calculator. I've been clean for about 5 days now. But the cough, the shame cough, I'm gonna be like
shame cough.
So that's where I'm at. What are we talking about this week?
So this week we had a big week. Maybe it's just a big first segment, but we are so excited because Solar Opposites came back, and it not only came back, they dropped every single episode for the season in one shot.
Yeah.
Which, like, we're going to talk about that a little bit. Brian and Charles, and this is why I was trying to rush you to the start because I was like, I'm going to forget this name. Brian and Charles, a movie that just dropped. Very heartwarming. Welsh. Something I did very much enjoy. We're going to talk about that. And then the Bob's Burgers movie dropped on Hulu. So it's actually kind of a big week for Hulu here. And we're going to talk about that as well. However, I do have a drink. I have a drink, a cocktail up and ready to go. In honor of Solar Opposites and The Wall, tonight's cocktail is the Slow Comfortable Screw Against the Wall cocktail. So simple cocktail. You're going to want to go and you are going to want to put in a shaker. You want to put ice and get it ready to go. Put fresh ice in a glass and get it ready to pour into it. You can do 1.5 ounces of vodka, 1/2 ounce of whiskey. Now, I would recommend for this, you go with something that is a little sweeter as far as whiskey goes. I would probably stick to something like a Jack Daniels. Stay away from like the Irish stuff. Stay away from any kind of like things that would be a little heavier tasting. You want it to just kind of go down smooth. Orange juice, you're going to put 3 ounces of orange juice in there. 1/2 ounce of sloe gin, which is a berry liqueur, and then 1/2 ounce of vanilla liqueur. I recommend Liquor 43 for this, but you're going to pop it in the shaker. You're going to shake it up, and you're going to strain it over ice. The Slow Comfortable Screw Against the Wall. The wall is so important to Solar Opposites, and you've been taught how to make a cocktail.
That is awesome. Thank you so much. I am so happy Solar Opposites is back. I love that this show is... like, it's been arriving on time every year. I feel like it started during the pandemic, but I can't because I don't think they've dropped four. No, wait, this is season three. So, yes, this started at the pandemic. And I remember it took me, like, 6 months to, like, chain you to the chair to watch this show. And I'm so glad you finally realized the greatness of Solar Opposites because... This is I'm texting people right now just being like, this is my favorite show. And I feel like if you watch it, you will fall in love with these characters, too. Once you get over the fact that Justin Roiland really can only do two voices, Rick and Morty, and there is a Rick on this show. Once you get past that, this show is amazing.
So real quick, you know, for those who may not have watched Solar Opposites yet, it's made by the people who make Rick and Morty. It's a family of aliens that move to middle America where they debate whether life is better there or on their home planet. And then they get into hijinks. I'm very impressed with this show. I mean, granted. So I did have a good hard think about it before today. And I was like, oh, when I was like watching the show, like I think I was still drinking. And then like. I stopped drinking, had a lot of time in my hands, and I rewatched the show, and I was like, oh, I kind of get everything that George is saying. And kudos to them. You know, Rick and Morty is one of those shows where, like, you're kind of like, they have a 70-episode, like, contract, but they barely put out, like, 4 episodes a year at this point, whereas Solar Opposites is doing a full season every single year since it launched in 2020 and a holiday special.
Yep. And I just love the fact that it's not, I think I was telling you about this yesterday. It's just like Rick and Morty is just kind of the point where they're just like, it's just edgelords like writing it. Like it's just, we need to basically, like, they realize that they have the worst fan base in the world, so they're almost like fucking with their fan base. It's making the storytelling a little jarring. Like, they don't want to do fan service on Rick and Morty. They, like, with the exception of maybe like the last episode of last season, they hate giving you what you want, which is like universe building. They just want to make it like an ego trip for Rick and Morty. And I feel like Solar Opposites is like, no, there's this great story where they're just building it out and building out. And this season, even in the, I think it's the second or third episode, the one with the line, they literally just make fun of it. Like the episode continues from where the last episode left off, and they reference all the stuff from previous episodes. And that's something that you've always wanted from Rick and Morty and just can never get it without, like, you just have to keep begging them to do it. This is a family of four. If we haven't said it before, it's a family of four and a Poopa, which is this adorable little like slime creature. And they're aliens who escaped their planet as being destroyed. They're not a biological family. They're more of a put together family. And they just like do weird. They just exist on Earth and point out all the things wrong with American Earth, which is what makes it so damn funny. And the humor is so non sequitur, which is my favorite type of humor, when you're just like, what the hell is going on? But it's funny, and it drives with pop culture in the forefront. It is just so good, and it's fun. And they're still a cute, wholesome family, so it's not even like The Simpsons, except it's not wholesome. And I probably feel terrible that my child loves the show, but it is.
Oh, yes, they say the F word a lot.
It's a hard R. It's like almost like they say it to make it not be a curse word. Like, every other word is an F-bomb.
It's like living in New Jersey. And, you know, I'm right there with you. Like, you know, it took me a little while to come around to it. However, and I love Rick and Morty, but when you really get into Solar Opposites, you realize that Rick and Morty really punches down a lot. I mean, and it's kind of shitty because Rick and Morty in a lot of ways is a very mean-spirited, like, angry show. Where this, they're punching up with their comedy. They are having not just one main story going on that builds the world. They have two other compelling stories running in the background at all times between the wall and whatever's going on with the Poopa. And it's kind of a much higher level of storytelling than Rick and Morty. And the fact that it comes out so consistently and it manages to stay both timeless but also very current in the moment, it really does kind of like make Rick and Morty look shitty in comparison.
Yeah, it's weird. Like, I would never thought of it, because anybody watches it, the first thing they're going to do is compare it to Rick and Morty. I even had to watch it twice the first time just to stop, because the challenge is the main character, the dad of the group, is claims he's a sci-fi genius. And the fact is he's played by Justin Roiland, so he has the same voice as Rick. The thing is that Rick could have been able to fix that ship and gone off that planet years ago. Like, he's not that intelligent. He's more just alien intelligent. I love that they're now just playing up the sci-fi aspect this season. Like, he's constantly talking about sci-fying his way out of situations, or like pulling a weird blaster gun. That is hilarious. There is a subplot on this show that I think is what made the first season, what made me fall in love with the first season, and that's the wall. There is the youngest two children on this show use a shrink gun, and anytime someone offends them or Karens them, or just they don't like the color of their shirt, they'll shrink ray these humans and put them in the wall. And there's this massive, massive, not a planetarium, where you put like terrarium. There's a massive terrarium.
It's like a hamster cage.
It's a hamster cage, huge hamster cage for little people, and there's a whole world that's happening inside this wall, and it's just the greatest subplot I've ever seen, especially in a cartoon, and it's a reoccurring one. Like, you want to know what happens to these humans that are trapped in the wall, and they've done such a great job weaving that narrative through this. You can tell that when they gave them two more seasons straight off the bat, they're like, you guys get a season 3 and 4. They started writing this like they had a purpose to write it, and that is something you definitely can tell with this season. There is so well weaved together. The fourth episode, Hulu Land,
oh my god,
Gabe just made me watch it again. It is an incredible episode that's spoofing Disneyland, but like, Hulu must love this show. I mean, well, first of all, they gave them two more seasons right off the bat, and look, I don't know that many people that watch this. If you go on my social, I'm constantly pumping this show up, because I just don't know that many people that watch it, but it clearly must be doing well because Hulu keeps throwing money on it. And just when they do stuff like Hulu Land, I just feel like they do stuff just to pop the bosses.
I really think so, too. And I've been thinking about it, too. I think the thing that really does set it apart and what makes it better is that Dan Harmon's not involved. And I think that you have such like a cynical voice with Dan Harmon with Rick and Morty, whereas Justin Roiland's just off the chain having fun.
I agree with you. And, you know, look, a lot of I think it's hard to ignore that there's been some controversy coming out of both the writer rooms from Rick and Morty and Solar Opposites. Just some of the negativity from people who have left. I think interns have complained leaving there. But I'm like, there is no way that writer's room can be politically correct when they're writing shows like these. Like, I can't imagine what it must, like the thick skin you must need to be in these writer's rooms.
Well, you have to think about, too, what they have to have gone, because the jokes that made the air aren't the way they were initially written many times. So you have to think about what they went through to get to the joke that is already standing on the edge.
It is crazy, but I can't get enough of this show. I would love to see Rick and Morty maybe adopt some of this. I mean, Rick and Morty got signed on for 70 more episodes, and I feel like every season that's come since they got those 70 episodes have just been weirder and weirder, and not in the best way. The train episode last season just like threw me for a loop.
The show kind of jumped the shark at that point. It's going to become old hat if they don't do any fucking universe building.
Like, yeah. Just like bring us back like the characters we love. And they did last season. They did towards the end. They had a bird guy return, but you know, it's just I feel like they hate their fans, and that's how they're doing. Solar Opposites, completely different fan base, completely different story writing. As far as the voice acting, I think the joke I had was, you know, it bothered you so much that Corvo sounds like Rick, but you must have had to get over Morty sounding just like Lemon Grab.
It's a lot. Like some of these voice actors are very, 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 very specific.
Well, it's all Justin Roiland. He does both. And he did an interview I read either yesterday or today for Solar Opposites where he said that he just has no range. He's like, I do Rick and I do Morty. I do Lemon Grab and I do Corvo. Like, there's only two voices I can do. So if you don't like it, try learning how to voice act. He's like, you know, I'm a writer. I just happen to also voice the characters.
Yeah, I got over it because I love Solar Opposites. It's just so funny because I think that like most of the critiques that people have about Rick and Morty, if you watch, and it is probably the reason why we don't know a lot of people who watch Solar Opposites. However, I think if they gave it a chance, man, they would see a very, very different experience than they got watching Rick and Morty.
Yeah, and the Poopa. I love that they give him the Poopa. The Poopa is this little blob creature who seems to be, he's very much like Stewie from Family Guy, where the little baby is also like plotting to rule the world. Boss baby almost.
Yeah, but he's not insufferable like Stewie.
I mean, the bringing back the little Poopa can, in one of the new episodes, I think it was either the first or second episode, he's able to, he's got like a hidden lair underneath his little play area in the backyard. And he,
oh, God, yeah, Jesus.
Controls, he has this like whole secret life where he controls this man's brain and he's a sales guy. And you must love that because you come from the sales world. But just seeing that whole episode with the father and just the I just can't. I'm sorry. I'm just doing that thing where people ramble about stuff.
It's okay, man. But I will tell you, it's so smart.
It's so smart.
Because the sales thing, like he goes into this room, not really a super spoiler, but he goes into this room and he's in a robot suit and he says four words and he acts like he knows what he's talking about. And everyone just folds and says he's the greatest salesperson ever to live. And that's sales in a nutshell.
Yeah. We know there's going to be one more season of this. Hopefully they'll continue doing it. I think Hulu, I just wish this show was almost, I almost wish this show was censored and on FX as well. Like, because... And by censor, I just mean bleeping out the F-bombs. Like, I would love to see this get a wider audience. I feel like...
They curse on FX.
Well, not like the... Like, I mean, the F-bomb's like every other word. I think they do have a limit on... Like, if I remember correctly, on AMC, which has less restrictions than FX, they could only drop 3 F-bombs a season on Breaking Bad.
Yeah, it makes sense.
So I think there would be a lot more beeping if it was on FX. But... It would be a wider audience, and I just wish we could flip the audiences. I wish Solar Opposites had more fans than Rick and Morty does, because Rick and Morty, again, while it's great, it's just the toxic everything that follows that show is hilarious, which they kind of helped create. Again, I'm not I don't hate Rick and Morty. I love Rick and Morty. It's just I kind of want to see more out of that show, because it's clearly smart. And clearly, if they're sharing writer rooms with Solar Opposites to an extent, I mean, you'd think some of that intelligence carries over, but I think they're just saving it. Like, oh, I bet you they do the thing where that's a Rick and Morty joke and that's a Solar Opposite joke, and they bank it for the different shows.
They might.
So I threw a movie at you this week.
Brian and Charles.
And I did not know what to think about Brian and Charles, but I saw the trailer and I was like, this has your name written all over it, as long as it doesn't turn too dark, because it could turn too dark. But then I saw it was PG, and I was like, this can't get that dark. So I'm going to let you kick this one off.
Well, I mean, the poster, right off the bat, when I saw the poster, the movie is about a man who goes through a harsh winter, and he's an inventor. He gets really depressed, and so he invents a robot friend so he would not be alone. And like, when you see the poster of this, you're like, is this going to be another like Lars and the Real Girl situation? Because like, that's what jumped right off the poster at me. And I'm like, oh man, he's going to fuck that robot. But I'm happy to say that it wasn't the case. And this is a movie that deals a lot with, you know, a person who's isolated in Wales and who has trouble connecting with the people around him. So he becomes a weird inventor and a handyman in the town. And that's how he starts to connect with people, but he still doesn't have like a real friend. So he invents one. He actually creates a robot out of like a washing machine or something. And it's a very sweet and thoughtful movie. And it has the potential of getting really dark, but it doesn't. It ends up being like very heartfelt and uplifting at the end. And I was really pleased with it.
Yeah. So the story doesn't break any new ground. This is a situation. It's the Frankenstein storyline where someone creates a monster and there are dumb idiots in town who don't understand the monster and they want to torture the monster and torment the monster. And all that plays out through this. But it's just the heart in it. If you've ever seen Iron Giant, which is one of my favorite cartoons of all time, it's got the same heart that does. Or if you've ever read, I'm going to go a little geekier, if you read the comic book Sentinel, which is kind of an X-Men adjacent comic book where a little kid finds a sentinel in the backyard and is trying to keep it from killing people. That is a very similar type story, except that this robot was not created with the urge to kill. He was created with the urge to just see the world and go out and go to Hawaii. That's what I love. When he's wearing the Hawaiian shirt, he's wearing the lei, there's a point where he's watching TV and he wants to just see Honolulu. Except he calls it like Hananala, Honolulu.
Right, because he's like learning the English language as like he is evolving. And, you know, of course, like anything else that gets brought to life, like, you know, he was created for one purpose, which is just to be Brian's friend. But then he wanted more. Like, he kind of was like, I like you just fine, Brian, but like, I want to go like kick rocks and like go surfing. Like, it's definitely like a very interesting thing. And I think you saying Frankenstein really does hit it on the head, because it does have a lot of parallels where, you know, it could have gone in the way where like, oh, they could have been like, oh, he's got a corrupt hard drive in his brain and now he's going to like destroy everything. It's just like, no, he just apparently somehow not only got like a robot brain, he got like a soul and he just wants to chill. So I thought it was very sweet. I thought it was very well done. And it's one of those movies that I don't want to say that there's no real consequence to it, but you're not going to feel worse after watching it, you know?
No, it was just a good, it's a fast movie. It's about an hour and a half. And
flies by.
Yeah, the only thing weird is, I mean, and this is the Frankenstein effect, the robot is very creepy. It's got a very humanish head. It's got, you know, I forgot what they call it, but in video games, there's a point where like they started making the animations too human looking.
Was it the Uncanny Valley?
Is that it? It might be the Uncanny Valley.
I know that because of Chip and Dale's Rescue Rangers.
Oh, Oh, yes. I forgot about that. Which, by the way, Gabe wants to watch on repeat all the time, and I do not mind at all. But yeah, it's the effect where like something in a video game is too human looking, but not human enough. So it's got a creep factor. This guy's head has that. Plus the head is on top of a refrigerator, literally like a refrigerator. And then it's got clothes over it. So it's a very weird looking, very similar to the guy from, I'll tie it back to last week, similar to the guy number one in Umbrella Academy. But
oh, good call.
Yes, and seeing this guy lumber around the small house in the small community is so weird. And it's a weird show. It's a very weird movie. But again, it's got the heart. It was nice to have a week of like happy shows. Like, I don't usually do that too much, but I kind of needed it after being isolated for like 2 weeks. Like, let me tell you, it is the hardest part of the family having COVID is that, like, Gabe hasn't left the house in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Gabe was, like, a week and a half home with us. And, you know, when you're working and have COVID from home, working from home with COVID, you're on meetings constantly. And I think I said last week, I was like, it was a struggle just to sit up straight in a chair. But then we had to, like, entertain a child, too, all day, who doesn't understand why he can't go to grandma and grandpa. And he was only sick for, like, 2-3 days. He only had a fever. So it was it was a rough 2 weeks. So just like, I'm like, this week we're just going to do like fun, pleasant stuff like this and Solar Opposites and Miss Marvel, which you're going to watch tomorrow. We're going to cover next week,
tomorrow.
Which ended. I will just non-spoiler alert, but like ended very well. And I really hope, I feel like Miss Marvel probably had the opportunity to be the least watched Marvel Disney Plus show because it's a very, it's a niche. And it is also a little more YA than their recent stuff, but I thought it was one of the best storylines and just fun superhero shows. So please check out Ms. Marvel before we review it next week. I think you'll definitely love it, especially when you can binge watch the whole thing.
Yeah, man. I'm glad you got some good things to watch. This strain has been, you know, from what I've heard, particularly worse than other strains. So you got it on you and it put the fuck on you hard times.
But it fucked on me. It fucked on me. It was a bad COVID. It was not as bad. And I just want some people to keep asking me because I had COVID in February of 2020 before we could get tested for it. And I always wondered if I actually had it or not. But then I realized I had the no smell and no taste, which at the time was not a symptom and then became one later on. So I pretty much figured out I can now tell you after having vaccinated round two, that it was absolutely what I had 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And the difference between then and now, and this is the big difference, is, you know, by being vaccinated, I did not have the elephant sitting on my chest for 2 months.
Thank God.
And that was the worst part. But it was always like, were you coughing? And this is why I doubted I had COVID at first. I wasn't coughing that much. But when I did, it was ugly. And I constantly had pressure on my chest. And I feel like if I was in bad shape, if I had pre-existing conditions, that elephant on my chest would have been something that would kill a person. So that's the difference between then and now. But, you know, everybody I talked to pretty much who's had this strain, it's like 2 weeks to get through it, to completely, like, if you have a medium version of it. I mean, my wife only had it for like a week. She was pretty clear of it. She was just tired a lot.
No, yeah, can't imagine.
The exhaustion's the worst part. It's just that, like, you go to bed at 10, you wake up at 8, and you still want to sleep more. I was, during the 4th of July vacation, when it first hit me, I was sleeping from, like, 10 at night to, like, 11 o'clock in the morning every day, and it just, like, I could have slept more. So hopefully everybody stays safe, stays vaccinated. Again, this is a bad, bad strain of it, and everyone I know seems to be getting it. It seems to be very contagious. It seems to be contagious outdoors, which is a problem. So we'll see. I'm not going to harp on it too much, but it still did kind of suck. And yeah, if your whole family gets it, and it just sucks. There's no other way around it.
Yeah, man, for reals.
But we saw Bob's Burgers too, which I've been waiting to see for a while. That got released on, it's on HBO Max, and I think it's on Hulu, right? Is it on two? I believe I've seen it on a few different spots.
I didn't look for it on HBO Max. I mean, I had Hulu on it anyway because Solar Opposites. But
definitely on HBO Max. Because that's where,
know,
I saw it.
I love Bob's Burgers. Like, Bob's Burgers is one of my favorite shows. Me and Sally watched the entire thing, like, front to back. And I was very excited about this movie and the idea of this movie. But I was also kind of cautiously optimistic because I feel like anytime a cartoon goes from, like, We've been doing this show. It's been very successful for like many years, and now we're going to do an animated movie. It doesn't really get over as good as a movie. Like, there's a reason why the episodes are so funny, is because they're tight in 22 minutes. When you got like an hour and a half, give or take, like you got to stretch it out. And I definitely think that was the case with the Bob's Burgers movie.
So I want to say two things before you go into the review, because I first want to note that you are the reason why I watch so many of these cartoons.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
From Adventure Time to Bob's Burger. Oh, good. Stroke your ego more. From Bob's Burger to Adventure Time to BoJack Horseman to, I don't know, I could name you. We had a cartoon episode about a year or two ago. It's probably like 2 years ago at this point. Maybe even longer, because I think we had just had Gapes. It might be a very long time ago. But we had a cartoon episode where you kind of just ripped through all the cartoons everyone must see that they're not watching. And I took note, and I started writing all of them down, and I started watching them. And to lesser or greater extent, I shows like Adventure Time are forever going to be part of my life. Bob's Burger, thoroughly enjoy, partially because it reminds me of my family. If you know my family at all, or anybody who's met my family, my dad is a diner chef, former Luncheonette owner, Louis Village Eatery in South Orange, New Jersey, where he had his failed Luncheonette when I was growing up. My mom pretty much had to run the show there because my dad could barely keep it together. And I had two sisters and I was the eldest brother. So, like, it is my family in like a pseudo New Jersey, New York environment, which is kind of where they hang. I just see so many parallels to my family in this that I love this show. But this movie, I was kind of optimistic about this movie because I feel like a lot of the Cartoon Network shows that have done movies in recent years, like the Wee Bear Bears and the Teen Titans, were really good too. But Wee Bear Bears didn't come out in the movies. This did, and I was curious to see how it's going to do in the movies, but it looks like it did well. It didn't do, like, even Lightyear money, but I don't think it was expected to. I think it was just going to go out there and see how it did. It did great. 45 days later, it's in on demand, and it's a fun show about a giant sinkhole opening up in front of their version of Louis Village Eatery called Bob's Burger, and, you know, what they need to do to... I mean, it turns into a murder mystery. Then I'm going to tag you in because this is your favorite type of show.
So it made $35 million off a $38 million budget. So it didn't fully recoup. But, you know, for an animated movie off a TV show, that's actually pretty good. So the movie takes place in their little town. A sinkhole opens up in front of Bob's restaurant. They're not going to be able to make the rent. They're trying to figure out how to do it. They make an illegal food truck. Like, a lot of stuff is happening here. One of the things that I like about Bob's Burgers is that they always find a way to take it out of the restaurant and make it about weird stuff that happens in the town of these kids. And so in this one, it does devolve, and I don't want to say devolve, but it moves on into a murder mystery, which is very unexpected. And I really enjoyed it. Like, don't get me wrong, I did really enjoy this movie. However, it wasn't as tight as a Bob's Burger story would normally be, because they had to fill up an hour and 42 minutes, which is a long time for a cartoon that's usually like 22 to 24. So it essentially was like four episodes and change. Had a lot of musical numbers in it. So if you're into music, you're not into musical numbers in your cartoons more than like one every so many episodes, this might not be the movie for you. But, you know, I thought it's a Bob's Burgers thing. It's super fun. It was enjoyable. But, like, I'm kind of glad I didn't go to see it in the movies, because didn't have me, like, you know, rolling on the floor like Bob's Burgers episodes normally do.
And you hit the nail on the head. I mean, if you love Bob's Burgers, this is going to be right up your alley. It's a long episode. If you don't love Bob's Burgers, you're probably not going to get it. And I watched this with Allison, who had never watched Bob's Burgers before, and she found some things funny, but not enough funny to carry an hour and 40 minute movie. It was way too long. I think it definitely should have been a little less than an hour and a half. I found that the storyline, while interesting, was a little too juvenile, even for Bob's Burger. I feel Bob's Burger over the years has become more adult, though definitely want to make clear this isn't a Adult Swim, BoJack Horseman, Rick and Morty type show, even though it's, we say adult, it's more just adult themes, you know, family owning a Luncheonette. I mean, it's not really a kid's type of cartoon.
Kids growing up, becoming teenagers, having feelings, you know, stuff like that.
I feel like this one tried too hard to be a DuckTales episode.
Yeah.
And it didn't quite land it as well as I would have wanted to, but it wasn't a waste of time. Like, it was fun.
I feel like they've done this murder mystery thing before in other ways, and I think they found ways to make it effective and happen over the course of 22 minutes, 24 minutes maybe. I think you kind of hit it on the head too, where Allison watched it and she enjoyed it, but like, it's hard when you go and stretch a TV show out that's so beloved into a movie format, because a casual person going to see this is not probably going to be moved to want to go back and watch Bob's Burgers, because even if it's good, a lot of the jokes, a lot of the humor, a lot of the things that make those jokes work come from years of dedication of watching this show. And, you know, even though there's things that are overtly funny, a lot of it is funnier because you're in on the joke, you know? Yeah. And I think that's the failing of a lot of movies that get built off of cartoons, because it's almost not there or suiting the function of like trying to earn new fans. It's more so like, hey, all these people are sitting at home essentially watching on free TV. Let's get them to spend some money.
I just wanted to be a little bit smarter than it was. I kind of was looking for something. I think I would have liked the parents' plot line to have been a little bit stronger. Again, I'm not going to shit on this. It's perfectly fine. But I think Gabe enjoyed it more than I did. But I don't think Bob Burgers is a kid's show. It was a bit strange. And the problem was, I was also watching at the same time I was watching Solar Opposites. Solar Opposites, I laugh out loud at least 5 times an episode.
Dude, when they made the BoJack Horseman joke on Solar Opposites, I was dying.
Everything. There were so many moments, not to plug my own, but like when they made the Verizon joke about like we had to get to Hulu Land before Verizon buys it. Yeah. Like, I was just laughing. And I got to go back to check it, because I was told by one of my coworkers that if we're name dropped at the end of it, like in the credits, we paid for that spot. And I feel like they've referenced Verizon before on Solar Opposites.
I think they have.
And I mean, we have a deal with Hulu and Disney, because we give the free Disney and Hulu combo with certain plans. So it is possible. But I mean, like, it takes a lot for me to laugh. And I just was laughing during Solar Opposites. Bob's Burger, I was like, this is cute. This is fun. There was a couple fun little horror moments where there's like surprise skeletons coming out of the sinkhole. And I just think they could have been like, even the sinkhole itself, it could have been a weirder reason than this weird, convoluted, we need to take over, you know, we need to stop the expansion of the pier amusement park. It's just they were trying too much. They threw a lot at Bob's Burgers. Some of it landed, a lot of it didn't. I kind of just wanted it to be a little bit funnier and smarter. Again, if you love Bob's Burger, it's fully worth your time.
Absolutely.
I just, it didn't hit me as hard. And look, I watch Bob's Burgers because there's a lot of episodes of Bob's Burgers. I watch it while I'm making dinner. It's my dinner setup. I make the dinner at night at my house, and I make it with a Google Home Hub Max, like the biggest Google Home screening yet, which isn't huge, but it's a great kitchen display. And I play Hulu off of that. And it's a great background show to watch while you're cooking. And that's how I enjoy Bob's Burgers. And I just feel like when I had to give it an hour 42, it was a little bit tougher. It was a little bit tougher.
Yeah, but you know what's not tough? Watching stuff at home on Hulu, on your couch. And we don't get paid to plug Hulu, but it sounds like we're plugging Hulu. We watch a lot of stuff on Hulu these days.
We do a lot on Netflix, too. So, I mean, it is what it is. No one's complaining. And also, we've fixed our backlog. We should be getting your episodes in order now. Apologies for the month off. It was a rough June for all of us. But you know, we'll be doing more episodes. Definitely can't wait to talk about Ms. Marvel next week. If there's something you guys want to check out, let us know. If there's any music you guys want to check out, let me know. I'm looking for new stuff to listen to. I feel like Epitaph's doing a pretty good, like, I've never heard the Lindas until recently. I checked them out, and they have a couple other female artist punk bands that I've been entertained by.
Yeah, I mean, I think the Lindas, if I remember correctly, they kind of went viral because they're little kids, and then now they're, you know, on Epitaph, and good for them.
Yeah, so definitely throw some music our way. You know, it was a weird week for punk rock. I mean,
oh my God,
the dude at the Capitol wearing the Descendants shirt. I feel bad because the Descendants went viral this week for all the wrong reasons, and the Descendants aren't really on social media, so I can only imagine the text messages they were getting from friends and family during the January 6th trial when that jabroni showed up in a Descendants shirt. First of all, I don't give a shit if you are a reformed white supremacist. Like, show up in a shirt and tie, not looking like a white supremacist. Like, yeah. I don't know, try a little bit harder if you're going to show up to Congress. I could tell you, if I were going to visit Congress, I would not be wearing my Turbo Negro jacket and a Dead Kennedy shirt. But
yeah, dude looked like he was about to go to like a microbrewery afterwards and just kind of like take the edge off the day.
Oh my God, why so the bad like face tattoos? And he's like older than us. And I'm just like, wow, like you are just trying way too hard. Yeah, when I saw that, and Descendants, wrote back to the Descendants. Did put out a statement that basically said that, you know,
we're not into that.
We're not into this. Yeah, like we do not support or endorse this group, the Oath Breakers or Makers, whatever the hell they're called. And you know, we have nothing to do with white supremacy. So I'm like, all right, the Descendants probably were like, we have to activate our Twitter account to put out a statement.
I bet they forgot their password too.
and then speaking of white supremacist groups, Pantera, Phil Anselmo is back. Pantera is reactivating with just Phil Anselmo and Rex, whatever his name is. I saw that and I was like, that is the band that dude should have been wearing. What a weird, weird, weird world we live in. I think They Might Be Giants concert got finally, it's going to be in January of 2023 now.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the dude broke his ribs bad. He was in a bad car accident, from what I heard.
I believe he, so for those that don't know, because this happened while we were on break, They My Giants did one show. Finally, after 3 years of waiting, 2 years of waiting, they finally did their shows at the Bowery Ballroom. One of the guys, lead singers, just drives home and gets T-boned off the Brooklyn Bridge, breaks all the ribs on the right side of his body, including a lot of other bones. Poor dude. I'm like, that tour is cursed worse than the Motley Crue tour right now.
Yeah, I mean, Motley Crue's still making the shows.
Sort of, yeah. I just felt so bad. When I saw that post, and he pulled a Cody where he was like, Cody Rhodes, where he was like, oh, I'll be back up and running in no time. We're going to try to figure out how to get me healed up for the next show. I'm like, you're not kidding. I think like a day later, they had a restate. Like, we're going to have to make up these dates like in a while. We're going to figure out when we can play again. And I'm just like, I felt so bad for these guys. And I'm so excited. I still am going to hold on my tickets. Those were the only tickets I held on to through the pandemic. And I really would love to see that show. It's just,
Hopefully, I feel like it's a foot race at this point, like the end of COVID and They Might Be Giants actually finishing that string of shows. Like, what's going to happen first? I don't know.
So, Chris, do you have any tickets left from back in the day that you still haven't seen and are still being rebooked or anything?
Nope.
Anyway.
Only going to fresh shows. I mean, I went to see Thursday on Saturday night playing Full Collapse in its entirety at White Eagle Hall. And now that they think they had to cancel the rest of their tour because someone got sick.
Oh, you heard Brett Michaels has got something going on the poison on the Motley Crue tour, which, by the way, I watched. I don't know if I sent it to you guys, but I watched a clip of Poison on this Motley Crue tour. And Poison, I can't believe the band that we made fun of more than any other band back in the 80s is probably the best, tightest band on that whole bill. Like, blows me away that
they
like
lost a step. It's like the weirdest thing. They're like the Iron Maiden of hair bands. We're just like, wow, you know, and not to be like shitty and ageist, but like, you know, at a certain point, you know, the old rock and roller kind of, you know, loses a step, but they have not lost a step.
The fact is the fact. I mean, Vince Neil just isn't the same Vince Neil. And, you know, even Axl Rose is having problems right now. They've canceled a whole bunch of shows because of his voice. But the fact that, like, Brett Michaels sounds as good as he ever did, but the poor guy is, like, on the verge of possibly dying of some weird heart aneurysm is, like, I feel bad for them.
He had a real rough go of it. I mean, he has, like, really, like, intense diabetes, which he's definitely, like, from what I read a long time ago, like, has under control. But, like, it's one of those things where, like, he's got to be vigilant about it. And then he got that heavy curtain drop on him at the Tony Awards. and that caused a lot of problems for him.
He also had some sort of thing happen. I don't know if it was a stroke or an aneurysm. He's had issues, and the fact that he sounds as good as ever, and the whole band looked great. I was watching, like, CeCe DeVille looks great. He actually learned how to play guitar. I'm like, oh, Poison's really good.
CeCe DeVille always knew how to play guitar, but Heroin was kind of like, you know, made it a little bit difficult, because Heroin, as we know, is a horn instrument, definitely not a stringed instrument.
And then what's her name? The guitar player who I was hoping to see live, because I'm still...
Oh, Nita Strauss?
Yes, for Alice Cooper quit. Something's happened. I think she's like doing something else that she hasn't announced yet. And he got his old guitarist back. But I really wanted to see her play with him. That is one of those bucket list shows I had to go see Alice Cooper. I've never seen Alice Cooper, and
I've seen him with Motley Crue. And he was opening for Motley Crue on like their farewell tour. You know, we will never play live together again. We signed this contract, so we are legally forbidden. Yes. It's like, all right, guys, whatever. But yeah, he fucking blew him off the stage.
Yeah, and look, his voice isn't great. I've heard the live albums he's done recently. I mean, he sounds his age, but Alice Cooper doesn't need to sound great to sound great. You know what I mean? Like, he just needs to be Alice Cooper. I'm perfectly fine. It's like Lemmy. Lemmy doesn't need to sound amazing. He just needs to be Lemmy.
I miss you, Lemmy.
How can the kids reach you?
You can find me across social media at John McGuire RPG on the Instagram, where I post the most, on the Twitter and on the TikTok. I am currently promoting. We're making a last ditch, like a last minute run for a Kickstarter launching on August the 4th. We are doing Zine Quest 4, which they finally announced the dates for, and it's going to be a found footage horror RPG from 3-2-1 Action called The Devil in New Jersey. I'm sure you can figure out what it's about. But click any of my social media. There's a link. Get notified when we launch. It's going to be awesome. George, where can the people find you?
It's about the devil. It's about New Jersey. It's found footage. How can it be bad?
I know.
I mean, I don't know how you make an RPG out of it, but I'm here for it. I figured it out. You can reach me at GLK Creative on Instagram and Twitter. I'm at cultofgeorge.com. Our back issues are at mytietv.com. Check us out. Visit us. Let us know what you think. Rate, review, and subscribe. This is episode 256, which is bonkers. Jesus. And, you know, we appreciate each and every one of you. Take us out.
Everybody remember, be nice. Watch out for COVID. Aloha.